give homage to the city of Jericho, where this Bible study, Bible reading is set. It's a city that is quite unique in many ways, sitting some 230 meters below sea level, 15 miles east of Jerusalem, and at its lowest, and it's supposed to be the oldest city in the world. I remember the first time I went there about 20 years ago or so, and I was amazed at the setting in the desert. I was amazed at the bloom right about it. Jericho is like an oasis. It's obviously built on rich soil, but the rich soil doesn't come to life because it didn't have much water in the past, surrounded by the Judean desert. Jericho is called the City of Palms. From at least the time of Moses, it was called the City of Palms back there. Indeed, palms still dominate the area. If you've ever been there, if you've ever tasted them, the medjool dates there are the most delicious dates you will ever taste. So sweet. They're calorie free, of course. But really, the amount of stuff that's planted there, bananas, apples, oranges, zucchini, courgettes, eggplants, which is aubergines, and huge amounts of fruit and vegetables. What I was struck by was the colour. There's the different fruits, different citrus fruits, from the lemon to the lime to the orange. It was just incredible. And we had come down to Jericho from Jerusalem through what is called the Wadi Kelt. And the Wadi Kelt is said to be related to the Psalms Valley of the Shadow of Death. I went quite near the edge, and the guide told me to come back here in case you fall down, because it is a dangerous valley. Below us we could see the old and the new Jericho. That's the old ruins and the new city of Jericho. And across the Jordan and the Jordan Valley, we could see into Jordan. There before us are the mountains of Moab. And you've heard of Moab in the scriptures in Jordan. From there you will see Mount Nebo, where Moses died and was buried or taken to heaven. He saw the promised land there, but failed to enter. From there, as I said, he was taken to heaven. And it's in that same vicinity from which Elijah crossed the Jordan with Elisha, and he was taken off on the chariot of fire. Looking down the Dead Sea, about 8 miles away, is Qumran, the city where John the Baptist may have grown up in. The mountain behind is the Mount of Temptation, where Jesus was tempted in Matthew's Gospel. Jordan, it's also close to where Jesus was baptized by John, where John the Baptist was baptized. 6 miles away is Bethany, beyond the Jordan. So this area, this part of the world, was well known to Jesus himself. And here he is. He's, as we read, he's come down from Jerusalem into the Jordan Valley. And there he meets Zacchaeus. And before that, we saw a reading in the previous chapter where he gives sight to blind Bartimaeus. Here in Luke 19, we have that well-known story of the tax collector. Small in stature, but you could say he was big in determination, especially to see this passing visitor, this Jesus. And this little man, this Zacchaeus, met that day with a great, big, and merciful God. Zacchaeus was one of a band of men that was not flavor of the day. I don't know if his kind of people are still flavor of the day in our day. He was a tax collector. Generally, tax collectors are the most popular of people. Don't we love to pay our taxes and on time? Well, most people pay them, but often grudgingly. Susanna and I took a holiday at a cruise last year when there was an American cruise ship, and there was a lot of Americans there. And a lot of our fellow passengers were complaining. They were causing a bit of a stooshy, as we say in the Northeast, because they had to pay 23% VAT on all that they bought on board the ship when it was in European waters. Of course, they wouldn't have had to pay that in America. You may have heard about the length of the tax office once received a number of years ago from a guy who had underpaid his tax. And he said, enclosed, you will find a cheque for £150. I cheated on my income tax return last year, but have not been able to get much sleep since then. If I have still trouble sleeping, I will send you the rest. Tonight, we're investigating this high-ranking tax officer who cheated not his return, but on everyone else's, it seems. He had found a way to steal away tax money. He was a chief, he had under tax collectors, and he would have got a percentage of their money as well. And so he was able to keep quite a bit to himself. Squeeze, you might say, the last shekel from people's wallets. So as we saw in the reading, Jesus was coming down from the north. He was passing through the Jordan Valley. He was approaching Jericho. He encountered blind Bartimaeus. A poor man at that time was a blind man at that time was probably one of the lowest in society because he couldn't walk near a thing. Now here we see him, Jesus entering the city, the old city of Jericho, passing through on his final trip to Jerusalem. He was coming down from the north. His death was not far away. And he comes into contact with Zacchaeus, who really was a wealthy tax official, probably from one of the higher social classes at the time. And there in Jericho, there's a tree that tours a tree. It's supposed to be the tree that Zacchaeus climbed, but you can pull the other one, because I hardly think it's the same tree. But it could be the same family, I suppose. But the Bible says Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jericho is one of the famous cities in the Bible. But if I were to ask you about another couple of cities, like the Italian city of Milan, or maybe Nottingham in England, and indeed Jericho, one of the most famous that we have, does anyone know what all these locations, and then it's probably too quick to make a guess. Well, it's they're areas where great spiritual conversions recorded in history took place. St. Augustine of Hippo came to faith in the city of Milan. William Booth of the Salvation Army came to faith in Nottingham. And of course, we see here in Luke 19 that the tax collector Zacchaeus came to faith in the city of Jericho. Archaeologists believe that the city is 9,000 years old or so, one of the world's oldest. And so we could say it was well established again by this time, after the end, after the time was destructed in Joshua's time. And Jericho was, of course, the famous one of the most famous battles in the Bible, when Joshua and the Israelites were coming into the promised land. Many of us remember seeing as little children the need was put into Joshua at the Battle of Jericho and so on, when the walls came tumbling down. It said that Jericho in Jesus' time was a thriving city, a prosperous city, and Jesus would have been well acquainted with this because this was the way to go up north, because he would have come to Jerusalem for the feasts as we read in Scripture. So he would have come through this way. Only one time we're told he went through Samaria, and that was for a specific purpose, as we know. And so this is a place that Jesus would have known as a place that he would be passing through. And this was to be, as I said, the last trip to Jerusalem. And we find him here passing through this well-known city. And this story reminds us of the tremendous power and the possibility of a surprising conversion, almost like we see at Damascus Road, conversion which we see in the Acts of the Apostles later on in Scripture. And that can happen here tonight. Somebody could meet with the Lord for the very first time here tonight. The Lord may have been working in your life for a long time, and tonight may be the night where you will open your eyes and stop the block ears for him to see you, for him to see that you are brought into his kingdom. So there's always something amazing about that, a live testimony. And when you see a testimony like Zacchaeus, this crook who came to faith in God, who would have expected that? Who would have expected a man like Zacchaeus to have come into a relationship with the Lord God Almighty? What would they say the next morning? What, him? Him? Follower of Jesus? Can't be. He must be mistaken. It must be somebody else. He was a crook. If you're here tonight and you haven't yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and you do tonight, what do people across these villages say as they hear the news this morning that so-and-so was touched by the Lord last night or yesterday, touched by the communion services this morning? What would they say? If Jesus is speaking to you tonight, if his Spirit is working in your heart, ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus to make you whole. And whatever will be said in the town and in the villages tomorrow, it doesn't matter. There will be rejoicing by some, of course, but there will be greater rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. In his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Jim Zimbala writes this: people pay attention when they see that God actually changes persons and sets them free. When a new Christian stands up and tells how God has revolutionized his or her life, no one dozes off. You might see some people nodding off here tonight while I'm speaking, but when somebody is speaking about what Jesus has done in their lives, no one nods off. When someone is healed or released from a life-controlling bondage, everyone takes note. That could be you tonight, released from a life-controlling bondage. And tomorrow, you are sharing with others the wonders of the marvelous, wonderful, amazing grace of God, the miracle of you coming to faith in him. I believe that there are some here tonight who are searching. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You are searching for an answer for life, just like I was, just like everybody here who has already accepted Christ. We are searching. We are on a search. And I believe that this man, Zacchaeus, was searching this day as well. What else would make him climb up a tree to see this man who was passing through? To see this man who had changed so many lives. To see this man who had touched people and healed them and saved them, of course. So here we have a sinner. Here we have a sinner who is searching. He is searching for a meaning to his life. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, and being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus His name in Hebrew means righteous and pure, but he doesn't give that impression by what he was doing in his life. He wasn't righteous and pure up until this time. He was anything else. As a tax collector, he worked for the Roman authorities, and by the Jewish people, he was considered a traitor, only in it for himself. We hear of present-day politicians, dodgy claims made against them, and payments to family members, accused of nepotism, and other things. But Zacchaeus here, he was more than a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He had other collectors under him. He would have cleaned off some of what they had as well, from those they collected taxes from. He was able to pocket stuff for himself. And this wasn't right. Before they sent the taxes to him, a percentage was always his. Now, let me say this, there is nothing wrong with anybody earning money. There is nothing wrong with people working for a commission. There's nothing wrong with that, and many people do. The problem begins when they start taking some of that commission that they're not entitled to. Verse 2 tells us that he was wealthy, that this tax collector was wealthy. And yet, although he had all this wealth, there was something missing in his life. His life was not complete. He knew there was more to life than money and possessions. And he wanted to see this Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to discover what it was Jesus had made him become well known. Why had people flocking to this man all over the country? This man had just given sight to a blind beggar. Did he know that by this time? Possible. Just on the outskirts of Jericho. And now the healer was in his town. He had come into his town. He was curious. He was curious about Jesus. Are you curious about Jesus tonight? And you want to find out more about this Jesus? Well, there's plenty of people here who will tell you, who are able to tell you what Jesus is like and his love for them. You see, God was stirring in the heart of this man. God was stirring. And Zacchaeus was unaware of what was going on in his heart. And many of us have been in the same condition. We were disturbed, and we didn't know why we were disturbed, because God was doing a work of grace in our hearts, taking us to himself step by step. And he, as a kid, was drawn to find out about Jesus, and really did he know why? But he was drawn. His stature, his height, and with the wee little man, made him climb a tree. He needed to see. He had to see. Not only that, but his spiritual stature at that time was minuscule. It was tiny. In fact, it was such. And his sinfulness, his love of money, had kept him apart from God. Nothing, not height, not sin, was now going to keep him from seeing this man Jesus. He had a desire to see Jesus that day. We could say that this was Zacchaeus beginning to care for a soul. He wanted to find meaning. Do you care about the condition of your own soul tonight? If the Lord were to take you from this scene of time tonight, would you be with him in glory? That is a very serious question. Do you care about the condition of your soul enough to pay the price and get right with? Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus, very eager. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he went ahead and climbed a sycamore fig to see him. Jesus was coming that way. Do you think that Jesus accidentally came through Jericho that day? Well, it was all in the plan. It was all in the plan. Zacchaeus wasn't there by chance. Jesus wasn't passing through there by chance. There was a planned meeting from the beginning of eternity, and there may be a planned meeting with you and Jesus here right here tonight. You know, this Savior had come all the way down from Galilee, and he was passing through Jericho at the very moment that he would see this man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wasn't there by chance, and neither was Jesus when Jesus was passing through. Jesus had come to seek and to save a sinful tax collector and give him freedom from all of his sin. This is what you might call a seeking Savior. A seeking Savior. And a seeking Savior through the Holy Spirit is going through this place tonight. Going into your soul. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." The Spirit had been working in the heart of Zacchaeus. The Spirit worked in his heart and made him curious about who this Jesus was. Possibly through the fact that he heard that Jesus had performed many healings and many miracles. And Jesus had now come to his city to seek him out. It is God. Listen to this. It is God who always makes the first move. It is God who makes the first move. Through different means, he draws us to himself. Andy Bannister, some of you may have heard his name. He used to work with Rabbi Zacharias, and he is now working with Solace in Dundee. And he was debating, once debating with an atheist. I think it was in a university setting, and a second meeting was set up between the two of them. And this time, the one who had been billed as an atheist in the first meeting didn't want to be billed as an atheist the second time. He wanted to be called an agnostic because of what Andy had said in the first meeting. He was having doubts about where he stood, about the fact that there was no God, what he thought. You see, it's worth debating with people and telling them what you know about Jesus. Not what you know maybe about from books, but what you know from your own heart. And how Jesus has dealt with you. And that's the greatest testimony of all. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. You see, there's a sense of urgency when Jesus calls us. He doesn't want you to wait tomorrow, or next week, or next year. For today, not tomorrow, is the day of salvation, according to 2 Corinthians. I must stay at your house today, he said to Zacchaeus. I don't want to come tomorrow, I won't be here tomorrow. I'll have passed by. I will be able to speak to you tomorrow. Imagine this healer, this good man, telling a sinner he must come to his house. A sinner entertaining this holy man. This wasn't done among the people in that. And to stay at someone's house, to share a meal with them, this was impossible. It was an honor. How welcome would you make Jesus tonight? Would you take him into your home? Into your heart? Or would you want want to clear away some of the rubble, some of the mess, before you invited Jesus in. But Jesus doesn't work that way. He comes to you just as you are. Just as you are tonight. Whatever your background, whatever your sin, whatever your kind, He comes to you as you are, and He takes you from that place and makes you whole and changes you. And makes you a new creation. Jesus had to stay at this man's house that day. It shows what his ministry is all about. He had come to save sinners from their sins. So he came down once, and welcomed him back. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has come to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus was now ready to hear the invitation of Jesus. I wonder if in the words of the old hymn we sing in gardens and we've sung there for years, have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? Have you felt His presence glorious as He calls your soul apart? Have you heard the Savior calling all to leave and follow Him? Have you felt His passion drawing with compulsion you to win? Hearken to His invitation, to the music of God's grace, that the peace of God's salvation fill your soul with love and grace. Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you? Why remember the day I heard it? Why remember the day? That is sweet. A number of years ago now. Now in Luke 19, verses 7 and 8, between verses 7 and 8, we assume that a meal has been had. We don't know for sure, doesn't say. But whatever happened in these moments together, we see that a change has happened in the life of Zacchaeus. He had come as a sinner to Jesus. He had come as a sinner to Jesus and was so powerfully impacted by what Jesus said to him over that dinner time that the invitation to come and have a life with Christ was received with gladness and with joy. So that Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." This is a dramatic change. This is a conversion in his life. There was no Brexit negotiations here. No waiting, no delay, no debating at all. No waiting to see which way it would go. He had to make a decision, an instant decision. And here and now, he says, "I will make the necessary preparations." Jesus had come into his heart. Jesus had changed his thought pattern. Not only did he come into his house that day, Jesus came right into his very heart. Was this decision pressurized? Was he under pressure to change? No. Of course he wasn't. And now flowed out of a heart of gratitude was a love that he had for what Christ had done in him. But is this not what Jesus does? He changes our whole thought pattern. Whenever Jesus meets with someone, there has to be a change. There must be a change. truly changed. If you say you're a Christian tonight and there's nothing changed in your life, it may be that you haven't actually been truly saved. Make your calling and your election sure. Zacchaeus, he had surely been changed. Because, in the words of Romans, it is with your heart you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. If the Lord Jesus has touched you here tonight, tell someone. Tell your best friend. Tell your neighbor that Jesus has done a work of grace in your life tonight. This was a case. He was showing a real sincerity of repentance. No turning back. No turning back. I'm not going back to my own lifestyle. I've left that behind. I'm now following Jesus. He was willing to put right the wrongs in the past. Whatever the cost. Before he met with Jesus that day, what was his security? Money. This is everything. After he met with Jesus, he was willing to give it all away because he had cheated so many people. Just to have a clean and a clear conscience before the Lord. Alex Watson said, if you own something that you can't give away, then you don't own it. It owns you. Jesus turns to Zacchaeus and says, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you've never been saved from your sins, oh my dear friends, realize that tonight Jesus is looking out for you as he was looking out for Zacchaeus on that day 2,000 years ago. Even when you are not looking for him, he is looking for you. He is wooing you, seeking to win you into a relationship with himself. And right now he's maybe knocking at the door of your heart that you might come into a relationship with him. Revelation 3 and 20 says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Trust him. Trust him. Invite him in right now. Invite him in right now. For today, salvation has come to your house. Jesus knows everything about me. He knows our pains. He knows our plans. And maybe he's here tonight and he's been speaking to you for a long time. And he wants to hear your response tonight. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Well, he knows all about you. There's nothing that you can hide from him. Just give your life to him. He's seeking your attention. You may be hearing his voice right in these moments. Just as he called out to